All right. Well, we're in Ephesians 6, and I'm going to try to finish the chapter. Next week, which is the last time that we'll have Bible study, and probably till the second, maybe third week of January, we'll have to look at it and see which one. But next week, I'm hoping to have a speaker come in here. And a pastor out of Buffalo, plays guitar.
Jim Donath.
I'm brilliant. Yeah, I couldn't even think of who I invited in here. So I hope to have him in here next week. I told him to preach on anything he wants, teach on anything he wants, and he'll be here next week.
I'm supposed to go to his church.
Yeah, I like him too. You know, I'll tell you what happened, just so you know. I had a young man contact me who'd read one of the blog posts, and he just was excited. He says, man, I've never understood what believing with the heart meant before. And he said, I've read it, and it's really helped me a lot. And he's from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. So I told him to get a hold of Pastor David Vernon. And then he goes back, he writes back, and he mentioned a pastor by the name of Don Anderson, who Ron Vernon's had trouble with over the years and different things. If you remember the first youth week, many of those people were from Don Anderson's church. He kind of encouraged him not to come back here and things. And so it's one of those things where Brother Vernon met with him, but Brother McVeigh just said this. He said, the man disappointed me because of how many things he promised to me and never came through with a single one. And you say, well, that's terrible. Well, you know what stabbed me is I told Jim Donath I was going to have him in here to teach class. And then that never did it. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I got one chance left this year to finish it and do it. So he'll be in next week. All right?
Oh, yeah.
All right? So while he's criticizing that other pastor, I'm sitting thinking, yeah, who are you, Mr. Asquith? Now, if you've noticed how much more bright it is in here, Tanya did some studying this week. Oddly enough, you can thank President Trump. He's allowed the manufacture of incandescent light bulbs again, and that, in all seriousness. So we sent Johnny to go get some 300-watt incandescent light bulbs, which if when you first came here years ago, that's what this was lighted with. And then about 4 or 5 years ago, we had to substitute light bulbs, and it was never as bright. All right. So Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay? So obey them in the Lord, for this is right.
We never finished 5. The last verse we was 25.
All right. 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. Okay. Well, let's go to Ephesians 5. Everybody forget what I said there earlier. That wasn't my wife that just corrected me. I'm not the kind of man that would kowtow out of my wife. All right. All right, here's Avatis's. As long as you're cutting Nick's hair, you're excused.
That's why you make the mistake, to make time for the Avatis's.
All right. Let's finish Ephesians 5 then. Husbands, love your wives, even if Christ so loved the church, gave himself for it. We did look at that. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. There you go. It's the word that renews your mind. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not even spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. And of course, this goes back to one of the rules that I find in the Word of God, and it's this. Yes?
Did he just call a family a church?
No, he's saying love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church, okay?
That he might present it to himself a glorious church. Presenting a family.
Well, he's talking about taking that church, wants it presented to him as a glorious church. So what did he do that it could be?
Right.
Everything we have was provided there. Again, we've had men who've learned the bitter lesson, you don't drag your wife before me and criticize her. Okay? That just doesn't fly. Why? Because the woman's the glory of the man. If she's something worth criticizing, chances are that you're a jerk and she's attached to you, all right? And that's generally my attitude. And it just is. And I'm not trying to exonerate, like women are perfect or okay and all that kind of thing. But I just know that Jesus Christ died for the church. And he never dragged us out before them. Look what they are, Father. Look how terrible they are. No. He went to great lengths to provide for us and make wonderful things for us that the church could be presented to him as glorious. Okay? Then it says this, so ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Okay? And today we have selfish men. Men that'll put their wives out to work so they can have a bigger house, toys to play with, things of that sort and such. And then it says, verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh. If you hear a psychiatrist say he does, the Bible says a man doesn't hate his own flesh. Okay? But nourish it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. If a man loves his own flesh, he ought to treat his wife like he would treat his flesh and better. Okay? She ought to eat first, be taken care of first. Again, my wife and I, we knew a pastor one time that dressed better than his wife, and it was just sickening to us.
That's
all right?
Sick. Yep.
It just was. You know, you'd look at his wife, and she had drab clothing and that. Look at him, he was a peacock. And there's just something wrong there.
Yes,
okay?
Sir.
There just is. I mean, I like it when a pastor can dress nice or whatever, but his wife dressing nice is the first requirement in that.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And then it goes on. It says this, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Okay? You'll hear a lot of fundamentalists that, no one should be called reverend. Well, if you're a husband, you ought to be called reverend. Okay? Wife's to reverence her husband. Okay? Now, the Bible says holy and reverent is God's name, but if you look, that's a small h and a small r. It's not saying his name is reverend like a proper pronoun. To revere, to put them above and, you know, on a pedestal. Okay.
So could that also be seen as idolizing? I may be stretching that.
No, here it's not idolizing. Okay. When we take the team that wins the championship trophy, they deserve the spot, they get the spot. We're not idolizing that team, we're honoring them for what they do. Okay. And a woman should do that for her husband. And she did it in her heart. And when you do, you'll find her actually use the word Lord for her husband. And she's speaking in her heart when she does it. Okay? Shall my Lord, no pleasure, be in old. Okay? That was in her heart that she called him that. And it's quoted. All right. So now, verse 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. What if your parents tell you to go be a Muslim terrorist? No, obey them in the Lord. Okay? But is anybody here had parents do that? No. All right. All right. So, you know, people ask these weird questions and such. Obey your parents. It's not going to hurt you. One of my favorite stories, one of the most successful missionaries I know. If I were to list the top five missionaries I know, one of them is a man by the name of Darren Truel. And Darren has started five churches in the Dominican Republic, right on the border between Haiti and the Dominican Republic, a no man's land. It's the Dominican police and army are even afraid to go there. It's drug runners and everything up in that area. He's been successful, started those churches there. And Darren was trained alongside me. We met him when he was a 17-year-old boy. He used to come and hear a street preach in Camden, South Carolina. And at that time, the street preacher were constantly police hassling, that kind of stuff in the papers. So the thing is Darren started coming and he asked his father, he said, I'd like to go to Columbia. Well, that was 30 miles away. He said, I'd like to go to church there. His father said, no, you're not going to church there. Okay, he'd seen us in the papers and such. And I'll never forget because, he came and told us on the streets. We went to our pastor. His dad won't let him come. I'll never forget my pastor saying to Darren, how old are you, boy? 17. When do you turn 18? Next June. You go home and obey your father till you're 18. And when you're 18, if you still think the same thing, you come here. So when he was 18, he showed up at the church. He honored his father, did that. God blessed it. And his five churches in the Dominican Republic and a fully staffed medical clinic. All right, why? Because an 18-year-old boy got a something from his father that he didn't agree with, and you know what? My pastor won that man's father over, okay?
How about that?
Not that I ever heard him getting saved, but he won the one for respect. Go home and obey your father. Verse 2, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And we've heard Joe Keim talk about that, how the Amish pervert that, call it the first commandment. No, it didn't say that. It's the first commandment with promise. In other words, when God gave that commandment, a lot of commandments he gave a curse with. If you do this, I'll do this. This one he gave the commandment and he gave a promise with it. That thy days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Okay? And how you treat your parents will have a big difference on how long you actually live.
That's right. I agree with that.
Yes, sir?
I know as far as certain Bible characters concerned, they live long lives, but why is long years respecting the parents so heavily, how should I say it?
A, because God commanded it. Your parents are given to you for one thing, to treat your respect to God. Now keep this in mind again. It didn't tell you to love your mother and father.
That's right.
It told you to honor them. Now, what's the difference?
What?
Let's think of Haman. Haman hated Mordecai, wanted to kill him. Haman is tricked in his own mind when the king tells him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Haman said, oh, get the king's horse, dress him in the king's clothing, have one of the mighty nobles lead him through the street, calling out, thus do it to the man that the king delighteth to honor. And the king then said to Haman, go get Mordecai, the Jew, and do it to him. Mm-hmm. Now, Mordecai the Jew, Haman didn't love him. He didn't even speak nice to him, but you know what he did? He honored him.
He sure did.
He put him on that horse, he led him through the street with that clothing on, and called out, thus doeth the man that the king delighteth to honor. If you have parents, you know what? We have Mother's Day, Father's Day, birthdays, Christmas, things of that sort. You do the honorable thing towards them.
Exactly right.
You say, well, they've never been honorable towards me, so what? Okay.
The Bible don't say that.
Yeah, that's right. Honor them. Break the cycle.
Yes, sir.
You know why? Your children deserve
that. Yes, sir.
Your children deserve it. They deserve to see you treat them properly and treat them right.
Mm-hmm. Don't you think your children treat you the way they see you treat your parents?
Yeah, you better believe it.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
You better believe it.
Then may I ask a bit of a sensitive question then?
All right.
Let's say I have kids and they eventually ask about grandpa. How am I going to do that introduction when I'm not exactly comfortable with the idea of them being around him for obvious reasons?
Well, what are the obvious reasons? Is he going to teach them to take drugs?
It's a possibility.
Well, not till they're older. Okay. The thing is, you can be frank about the problems with grandpa. Okay. We've had those problems ourselves. Okay. We've had those. I grew up with those kind of problems in a family. Okay. Where, you know, it was known that grandpa was this or grandpa was that. We've grown up with that, but at the same time, you show him honor. You don't treat him as some outcast or something of that sort. A lot of people in here have parents that really are troublesome.
Can I just say something real quick?
Go ahead, yeah.
My dad's an alcoholic, and last year I took the boys out to see him when he was in the hospital, and I just explained to them, I'm like, this is what alcohol has gotten him. 60 years old, and he's in a hospital bed, almost dying. Hmm. But I honored him. I showed up. I helped him the best I could when I was there. I also pointed out to my children that his lifestyle is why he's where he's at.
Yep.
But she didn't do it right in front of him. She said it in another place. She
right. It's not like making a public example in front of them or something like that. But at the same time, it's part of your children learning. You know, this is our family history, our family history. My children need to understand addiction runs in our family, okay?
Exactly.
Very easy for you to get addicted to something, and they need to understand that.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, we're more prone to it than the average family, that things will get you. And you know, it's one of the reasons you want to stay away from stuff and not get yourself, don't tempt yourself with stuff.
Yes, yeah, so I think that promise could, if there was an unsaved person that honors, do you think that promise?
No doubt about it.
I mean,
you know,
I see my dad, and this is what I told him face to face. My dad should have been dead 20 years ago.
Right.
And the way that I saw him honor his mother when she was alive and took care of her when she was sick and made sure she had things. And
glory to God, that's good.
And I told him, I said, the reason one of the, you know, I try to use the Bible to tell him that, that him honoring his parents, I think, has given him that long life.
I think you're right. No doubt about it. Yeah, because it doesn't say you have to get saved first for that promise to come true. You know, look at the Japanese nation and look at Nate. Look, go ahead. You know, if you look at their, the whole culture is so infused with honoring their parents and such. They have one of the longest lifespans of any nation anywhere. And you just find it's really the Semitic people in themselves. Asiatics and that tend to live longer than other races because they tend to honor their parents more. Okay?
It's one of the things that God worked on me before I got saved is challenging me to honor my mother.
Yeah, amen. It really That's
did.
Right.
It really did, yeah.
Amen.
With my dad, it was hard to honor him because once he got what he wanted, he forgot me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He doesn't know me now until the next time he needs something.
And that's hard, yeah.
But you still, your kids still got to watch.
That's right. It's one of the, your kids get the whole lesson. They see the whole thing. Treat it right, and God will treat you right. So verse 2 again, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, and I've watched parents do it. You know, one of these things, that you, gotcha discipline is one of the ways to do that. You know, kid goes ahead and you gave him things to do and he's done it 99% right. And you find that 1% that wasn't right. Make sure you hammer him. Look at you, idiot. You know, hey, we got to teach him to do it right. Yeah, go ahead. Break their spirit. Provoke them to wrath. See what you get out of it. Okay? You know what you get? Angry children. Angry. Children that grow up angry and bitter and everything else. And, you know, but...
Children may be provoked to wrath, but... At the same time, it is also to their honor that they don't...
Sure, if you could be quiet about it, yeah.
They don't listen to that rap. They don't...
That's right.
A few times lately, I've seen some people, they live right where I live, different apartments. But like today, I just came home, walked, went bike past this guy, and I was like, man, I just looked, just everything about him looked so unhappy. And I saw a few people, I met a few people like that, talking to him, and it's just like... Something either never clicked, or they, you know, probably had, maybe had some things happen that threw them down. But it just, it's like really depressing to see someone 30 years old who looks like they just.
Hey, there's a lot of misery out there. There just is.
Yeah, I feel like
a lot of misery. Like yeah. All right. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Where is that? Book of Proverbs. Go in there and read it. Study it, get to know it, nurture them in the things of God. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart is unto Christ. Hey, if you have a job, do your job for that person, okay? And if you can't be loyal to your boss, go get a different job. If you can't be loyal to who you work for, go get a different job. Just do it. You say, well, they don't deserve my loyalty. Well, why are you working for them? Okay? Why are you taking their money? And I've told anybody I've worked for, you know, I'm loyal to you. You know, when Radio Shack was a big backstabbing place with this and that and everything else. And I told each of the people that I worked for, you know, if I can't be loyal to you, I'll tell you. You'll get a two-week notice. But as long as I'm working for you, I'm loyal to you. Not to the point that I'm going to backstab the company or something like that, but I'm going to be loyal to you. Do that. Doesn't hurt. Get that reputation.
Yeah, sir.
Do my darndest to do that at work.
That's right. Be loyal.
Be loyal. Yes.
Not only that, my last name actually means loyal one.
Well, there you go. All right. Verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers. What's eye service
yes.
mean? Doing it where they see. But when they can't see, you do what you want. That's eye service.
Yes, okay. Help us.
God forbid. You are what you are in secret. That's the real you.
Yes, sir.
Okay? If you want to know the real Marilee, it's her in secret. It's the real Marilee. Okay? If you want to know the real Ryan, it's Ryan in secret. That's the real. Zane in secret is the real Zane. Okay? It's Caleb in secret that is the real Caleb.
So where do you start breaking the habit of secrecy? Because honestly, I crave Dale's method of be who you are outside your home as you are in.
It's good, and I'm glad. You know, the thing is, first of all, catch yourself.
That's recognition.
Catch yourself at it. And say to yourself, hey, you know, when I'm on the computer, I have to constantly tell myself, you know, would my people want to see me on this webpage?
That's
would they want to see me on this and that? What would they think of me to see me here? What would they think of this and that? And there has to be a constant thing going on there. And, you know, what my conversation is or anything of that sort. And I've had to tell people, you know, I've had people get upset what I say in Bible studies in the pulpit. Just recently, I had somebody said, I'll never listen to you again. They heard something I said. And they didn't like what I said. And I just had to tell them, I'm not defending what I say. I'm just telling you what I am out there is what I am here. I don't have two different lives.
Yes.
So by any chance, do you use what people think of you as a means to keep yourself in check, so to say?
I want what God thinks of me, and I want them to have... in other words, Randy, I don't want to be a hypocrite. What I say I am from the pulpit, I want to be that. Okay. If I was somebody who occasionally looked at soft porn on the internet, I'd tell people, you know, I look at it once in a while. I would. I would hope you'd all leave and would vote me out, all right? But I would tell you that because that's what I am, all right? And I would say, hey, you know, from that time, you know, what's it hurt to look at a little soft porn here? God forbid that I ever say that. But if I did, I'd tell you that I do, okay? Now, I'm not telling you I'd tell you all my deep sins or whatever else. You know, if I hit my thumb with a hammer and say a bad word, it's not like I got to come in the pulpit and tell people I did it. But I like to think that I just kind of bless the hammer. All right? Yeah, and, you know, that's what I want to be. Okay? And that's what I work towards being. All right. Now the thing is, verse 7, with goodwill doing service to the Lord, not to men. So whatever job you do it as unto the Lord.
That's right.
Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. God does pay. He doesn't always pay on payday. But God does pay. God does take care of people. One way or another, he'll take care of you. You may not like how he takes care of you, but you probably earned it. Okay. Ruth Ann, I know a Filipino preacher. He used to say, God will take care of you. That's right, he'd say. He'll take care of you. And it wasn't good the way he'd say it.
And it's with that frame of mind I've learned, never pray for patience because he will always deliver. I don't pray.
Yep.
Amen.
Alright. Verse 9, and you masters do the same thing unto them. Forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So if you are in charge of people, parents, people who work for you and such, forbear threatening. In other words, you don't make threats. You know, you have rules. And everybody needs to understand what happens when the rules are broken. Hey, if you go in that room, you're going to get a spanking. No, you say, don't go in that room. It ought to be understood what's going to happen when they go in the room. Okay? And if it's not understood, somewhere you haven't communicated. It's that idea that just state what the rules are and then be consistent with the rules. They understand. They know. And when you get that down in your home, for one thing, everyone is so much happier. Discipline works so much better. You just walk in, they're in that room, they begin to cry. You see them in that room. And it's not one of those things, they just fall apart. And you just very quietly lead them by the hand, you know, point the nose south, the rear end north, and do what you got to do. And, you know, and it's over. But if you live with this threat, you're going to get that, you're going to get that, you're going to get, no. Here's the rules. This is what we do. I'll tell you this, if your home hasn't run that way, it's not easy to set up right away. But set them up to fail. What do you mean by that? Tell them, you're not to go in this part of the yard. Now don't be a jerk and make it sound awful, but just say you're not to go in that part of the yard. And then act like you forgot you ever said it and wait. Okay? You know what's going to happen? They're going to go in that part of the yard. And you just walk out there, grab them by the hand. You don't say a word. You lead them back. Do whatever discipline you got to do. And then go back at it again. And after a while, go ahead.
Dad did that one time. He had like some quarters or something that spilled on the floor. And he's like, he said, and they're right in the middle of the floor. And he said, don't touch them. And like, did the exact same thing. We're playing a little bit closer. Then both. I know, I got spanked. I don't know.
I can't imagine Charity getting spanked.
Chelsea.
No. Oh, Chelsea.
She probably got away with it.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Because girls are good. Boys like you, they're bad. All right.
Oh, yeah, sure. Just give all women a pass. Yeah, I see how it is.
But if you want a happy home, learn not to threaten. Just teach them what the rules are. And when the rules are broken, you just have a consistent discipline plan that usually involves unpleasant things. All right? That's within reason where you're not even mad. Again, you know, if you've ever done it, some of your parents have once in a while, where you're just as calm as a cucumber, and you just administer the punishment. They hate that. You just walk in there calm, not saying a word. Oh, they just fall to my...
If I had to describe that to any one thing, I'd have to say it's like an executioner.
Yeah, just as calm and businesslike as can be.
He's chilling,
Tonya. All right. All right, now here's the thing.
Oh, yeah, sure. Guy coming in with no black mask, no axe.
All right, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How do you do that? First of all, put on the whole armor of God. It's the same armor God wears, you're going to find. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let's face it. Every one of you at a point where somewhere in your home and somewhere you determine the devil is right there. It's absolutely, you're in a wall, and he's right there, and it just doesn't seem to get over it. And he's outthinking this thing all the time. He's one step ahead of you. He's a better chess player. He just knows where to get you. He knows where your weak parts are and everything else. And so, you know, here's God saying, hey, by the way, I realize the devil's wily. Here's what he's trying to do. Here's what you can do against the wiles of the devil. Okay? So the first thing to understand is we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
That's right.
Okay? Your children aren't the problem. Your spouse isn't the problem. Your boss isn't the problem. Your sister-in-law, brother-in-law, whatever. They're not what the problem is. They're in your life to illustrate the real problems. Okay? And they can do that. You know, I mentioned in the preaching last Sunday, we, you know, had one service, but I mentioned it, just the idea that... And, you know, I had to laugh because Kyle Beal, like, this understanding came across him. And I love that man. Just nod his head. And I just talked about, you know, when you get a wife, no one can vex you like a wife can.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. You know why? Because there's no one that knows Dale like Amy does, right in there in his heart, who can go in there and then vex him right there. Absolutely get in there and vex him. And, you know, and they just, and women are great at that.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And you know what? A man is a wimp that falls apart from that.
Sir.
God forbid. Just an yeah.
You gotta admire a man for honesty. Yeah.
You know what happens when the girl in the movie takes her fists and beats John Wayne in the chest?
Yeah.
Does he cry?
She hit me in the chest.
No, it's John Wayne.
Throws her
over. It didn't do anything. Yeah, throws her over his shoulder, takes her home, and kisses her and introduces the ma, you know. And you know what? When that woman throws the worst thing she has at you right in your face, I mean, just, she knows you. Be John Wayne. So what? Tell them they look pretty when they're angry. Right?
That makes
sense. Yeah. Oh, and it's great, though. You saved that one up. You know?
How was it my mother responded to that? Oh, I'm about to look real adorable then.
Oh, that's good. Debbie would do that too, Randy. That's good.
Yes.
But you know what? You can't copy me. You have to say your own things.
That's right.
And it has to be from you, okay? And it's got to be real. I'll never forget one time we had a couple in Vermont, and he calls me, and I need to find a metal detector. Why? Well, she got mad. She took our wedding ring and threw it in the cornfield. You need to come here. She's furious. And I go there, pull into the driveway, and I'm telling you, this girl was standing at the top of this hill, driveway similar to the Vadis. She's standing at the top of it, and the moon is behind her. She's got these big gold earrings on. And she's one of these women that had real frizzy, almost like black people's hair coming down. And she'd always been a little heavy set or something, but she had this peasant dress on. And when I drove up, I thought, oh my God, I've never seen her that beautiful. I mean, it was really, she was just standing there in that moonlight. She was so angry, standing there. And her husband thought, what should I do? I grabbed his arm. I said, you don't know what to do with her? I mean, I mean, look at her. I'll say, wow. He goes,
well, I was not expecting that.
Yeah, wow. And I forget the wedding ring. I forget all of that. Look at her, you know? And I'll never forget because I think it's the last time they ever called me with a problem like that. And the funny thing is it really did work. You know, he kind of like, oh, yeah, wow.
So wow.
You know? Did she ever throw the wedding ring in the corn patch again? Probably, knowing them. But, you know, it's just like you learn to live with that. Just part of the thing, you know, throw it out there. And call the jeweler, have another one delivered or something. But, you know, you just get to the point, okay, that's fine. You want to throw rings in the corn patch? It's not going to affect me. Okay? It's not going to make a difference. Remember, Randy, when you first came into the house and bullies were bothering you, and I said, don't let them bother you. That's their only payback. What's a bully's payback? It's watching you in agony, watching you cry, watching you angry, okay? Take that away from them.
That's right.
They don't get paid for it. There's nothing to it. And you know what? When a man learns that with his wife, for one thing, that woman will begin to respect him far much more.
That's what I need to do.
And they're so much happier. You know, a man says, well, I'm a man. You know, the first thing you want to do is pull that string and watch him go. you know, and see if it's real or not.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and everyone wants to know, is the guy for real? And every once in a while they'll test him to see if he's for real. Be for real.
Yeah.
Be for real. Don't let it affect you. Don't let it do anything to you. Just stand there.
When we first got married, I worked with him, and I said, I am my mother's daughter. She taught me well. And I said, if you're going to be a whip, you better start now.
Now, what did I teach you to do? I taught her this. If when we're dealing together, if she thinks that I'm being a wimp, I ordered her, you will say it. If you think I'm being a wimp, you will say it. Now, let me tell you, there's a couple of times she shot a little bit quicker than I think she ought to. But you know, it really was a wake-up call when she watched me start get emotional and bothered over what you're saying. Wimp. Wimp. Okay? And you know what? I had to stop. I ordered her to say that. All right? And as I say, there's been a couple times, and you can't say it then. Well, I think that's too soon because then she thinks you're even more wimpy, you know. But
so gasoline on the fire, if you will.
Yeah, so you have to take it. You ordered her to say it. But you know what? I want to be a man. And my wife wanted to marry a man. And you know what? When she got married, it was kind of disappointing when she opened the package and understood. But you know what? God can make us into what we ought to be.
Yes, sir.
God can do that. God can make something out of it. And there's not a couple in here. There's not a person here. God can't make something out of you. Amen. And make you into what you ought to be. But you can't let a woman vex you. You can't do that. Not because you slap her or hit her. Because you just, she has no power over you.
If you slap her and hit her, wouldn't that be along her vaccine?
That's jail. Yeah, well, let's put it this way. It's 911 in this church.
That's right, yes, sir.
Yep. All right? 911, all right? There's just no excuse for that whatsoever. But the whole point of that is this. Don't let it bother you. Okay?
Yeah,
that's what it is. All right. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So again, if somebody in your family's driving you nuts, it's really not them. But against principality, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness and high places. Those devils are up there. They're messing with you constantly. They're trying to see to it constantly that things fall apart and don't work well with you. And there's always going to be someone who will walk in and be a little puppet for them. All right? And if you think that that person is the enemy, you have it wrong. Okay? That person is not the enemy. Your enemy is the devil. And he's using people, and you can't let that happen. Okay. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And you know what? Go ahead.
It says the heart is deceitfully wicked. So Satan uses people, but the heart itself, Satan doesn't have to do anything with.
That's no. Oh, no. He takes his hat off and bows when he runs into your heart.
Then if somebody's bothering you, it could be from their own heart rather than...
Yeah, but believe me, the devil sent him over there. Just sent him over there and told him, hey, let your heart loose, all right? Who let the dogs out? Open that heart. There it goes. All right. Having done all, therefore, stand. You know something? Now, some of you need to realize this. You got big problems in your life. Have you done what God would have you do? You're writing the letters you're supposed to, phone calls you're supposed to, said the things you're supposed to. Have you studied like you should? If you've done everything, then just stand. You've done what you're supposed to. You've done what you're supposed to. Having done all, therefore, stand. Be quiet. Let God take over. If he shows you something else to do, then do it. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Why your loins? Because that's where your bowels are. That's where your feelings are. All through the Bible, what are your feelings called? They're called bowels. Bowels of humbleness of mind, mercies, all those things. Those are your bowels. In war, what's the enemy try to do? Pierce your bowels. In the Civil War, a bowel shot was a death shot. To be shot in the bowels, you might live for days after that, but you were dead. That great cavalry commander of the Confederates, J.E.B. Stuart, died in Richmond, if I remember right, in Jeff Davis's house. Went there, they found his wife, he got a bowel shot, and he knew he was dead. He was actually able to ride to that house and brought his wife in, and they sang hymns for the next couple days, and he died. It's over. Your bowels have been shot. Doberman pinschers, 700 pounds per square inch. They're designed to run after a deer and bite him in the soft of the belly. Well, I would have the bowels drop out while they're running, all right? And that's what they're designed to do as far as that goes. So the thing is, your bowels, you have to protect them. So you girt your loins about with what? The truth, okay? The truth. Someone walks up and says something that hurts your feelings so bad. You know what? It's a gut shot. And it's designed to incapacitate you. It's designed to make you unable to fight. You know what? What's the truth? The truth is, you may be everything that person says you are, but God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you. He paid for you. Okay? You have done things in your integrity, and that's the truth. And that's why you need to be able to stand in the middle of Ralph Wilson Stadium and have 81,000 people point at you and accuse you of everything that's true about you and terrible. Okay? And you know what? The truth is that when I came to that same conclusion, folks, Jesus saved me. When I came to that same conclusion and saw myself for what I am, Jesus Christ paid for it all, okay? Girt your loins about with truth. Yes, I failed terribly. I'm a horrible person. You're right in all this. And you know what? I'm going to start from that bottom and I'm going to work, and thank you for showing me how terrible I am. Girt your loins about with truth. Don't let the gut shots take you down. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, it says in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 59, 17, talks about Jesus Christ himself putting on righteousness as a breastplate. Why? Because what's a breastplate protect? The lungs and the heart. Okay? The pecory muscles. It protects all that. And so what's righteousness do? Having God's right. You don't have your own righteousness, but having his righteousness. And people walk up and accuse your heart and accuse things of you and that kind of thing. It doesn't matter. You're right. My heart's deceitful. It's vile. It's a bitter. It's a terrible thing. But I'm not worried about it. I have the righteousness of God. That's what I have here. Okay? And I don't care. You're right. All my righteousness is vile and everything else. Say what you want about it. I have the righteousness of God.
Where it says the righteousness on
the right hand and on the left.
Well, it says left and right, and then it says...
The breastplate of faith and love.
Right, faith and love. So, love covering that wicked heart?
It is, and what she went into, you'll have, it also talks in the Pauline epistles, having on the breastplate of faith and love. And it says the breastplate, the armor of righteousness. And if you understand this, that righteousness is composed of faith and love. Not your faith, not your love. God's faith and the blood of Jesus Christ and his love for you. And that is your protection. Okay? That is your protection. That's good, Ruthann. Then she'll go home. She's going to tease me because she brought it up. All right.
You know it.
Yeah. All right, verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Blessed are the feet of those. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring this salvation, the tidings of salvation. You know what Paul was when he hated the gospel? He was lame of feet.
What shod mean?
Shod means to put shoes on. You're right now unshod. You don't have your shoes on, all right? When you put your shoes on, you will shod yourself, all right? Well, not to be embarrassed about that. All right. Even Miss Amy. Well, those are shoes. Okay, very good. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Looks like somehow the Wizard of Oz. Oh, I love it. All right. All right. Verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now listen, I hear this preached so ridiculously. With that idea that, you know, you're going to stop those darts from hitting. That is not what it says. What's quench mean? To put something out. Quench a fire, you put it out. Okay? Quench your thirst, you put your thirst out. Now, in warfare in those days, when most roofs were made out of thatch or wooden tiles, and buildings were old, and you have a fort.
What's thatch?
Thatch. That's where you braid grass together and hay together to make a roof out of it, okay? When I was in the Philippines, for example, when Mount Pinatubo blew up and all the sand was coming down on people's houses, the people whose houses had what they called GI sheet metal roofs collapsed, but the one with the thatch, they called them Nipah huts, didn't collapse. It was interesting. It was actually stronger, what they weaved together as far as palm leaves and fronds and all that and grasses and made roofs out of it. But
shoot, now I want to know why that was.
Well, over in the Philippines, they'll show you.
Yeah, like I got travel money.
All right. But
ask the engineer.
The point of that is this. If you wanted to attack people and they're in that fort, what you would do is you would take your arrows and you would dip them in burning tar or pitch and light it and begin shooting those over the walls. Now, is anybody going to be able to stop those arrows? You think you really have got, no. So what happens when it hits that rooftop and suddenly that little fire starts? What do you do with your shield? You push that shield over that fire and you quench that fire. Now, you can't stop those thoughts from entering your head. Those fiery darts of the wicked are constantly coming. You'd be walking along and say, whoop, wow. Where'd that come from, all right? Came from the wicked one. And once you understand that not all the thoughts in your head come from you, okay? There's other sources for the thoughts in your head. So the thing is, when that begins burning, what do? You take the shield of faith, okay? And you take it, and you allow God's word to put that fire out. Yeah, that's right. That woman is beautiful. She wasn't dressed right, but God has preserved me, God's purchased my body. If I want to destroy my life and make my life horrible, I'll That's think right. about that
yeah,
right
sir.
Now. Okay?
Yeah.
I'll contemplate that for a while. That fire will burn for a while, okay? Yeah, I think that person said that thing to put me down. I don't think it was an idle statement. And I can let that grind on me all night long, or I can take that shield of faith and put that over there and just say to myself, it doesn't matter what that person thinks. And I remember when I used to have a cutting mouth like that, okay? You know, so that I would put people down, my little put-downs and such, and they'd think about it later and realize I got them. And you know what? So quench those darts. You can't stop them, but you can keep them from burning. All right. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. What is that? The knowledge of God.
Sure.
In your head. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When you have the sword of the Spirit, answer. How did Jesus Christ answer the devil?
That's right.
He took the word of God and mentioned it to him, said it to him. That says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Remember, we've talked about that before. Prayer is asking, supplication is
begging.
Okay? If you have children, you know that. Mom, can I have a cookie? No. Oh, Mom, please. All right. You know what? And God's actually invited you to do that with him. Oh, yeah. See, all right. There we go.
Now yes. That's
Mama's boy right there.
Someone got all the cookies.
That's right. All right.
And what's better, just giving instructions to all the little kids on how to do it right.
All right, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, watching them thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So pray for everybody. Pray for the other people in the churches, all right? And he says, pray for me and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, let me ask you a question. If the Apostle Paul, no doubt the greatest apostle, close with God, if he needed these people in Ephesus to pray for him, how much more do you think Dale Morey needs it?
Oh, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Do you think it'd make a difference when he went to the jail if somebody went and got aside with God and begged God to open the door? You know?
Yes, sir.
How much more your father-in-law? How much more me? How much more do we need those things? You know, for someone to take aside and pray and beg God and say, hey, please give them utterance here. Give them what to say.
Yes,
Verse 19 again, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. And he's in Rome at that point. He legally cannot leave. Therefore, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister of the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I've sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. It's one of the reasons that preachers travel around and preach in different places and such. There's a comfort meeting people from other places and hearing them and such. Verse 23, peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be to with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Mm-hmm. Written from Rome under the Ephesians by Tychicus. John Vadis, would you close us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for being able to be here tonight, Lord, and hearing your word, Father. Just blessing upon the pastor who teaches us, Lord, thank you, Lord. Give them the strength and courage to obey your will, Lord, us too, day to day, Lord. Just teach us to be more like you. Open our hearts, Lord. Now we thank you, Father, for the time we have together. Just ask for blessing and the fellowship and refreshments. In Jesus' name.